flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
So E.F. Hutton has somehow become...
I was playing commercials for the boys.
A topic of conversation in here. And I mean, apparently founded in 1904, huh? A brokerage.
Damn.
It was a great, great campaign. Mm. It was very memorable.
And they no longer with us.
They stopped what, in 2012?
It looks like it was revived in 2012 and then revived again in 2021. I don't know.
It's
bro.
Over.
It's over.
Yeah, it's like, a wrap. He got other people out here now.
Not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, other people out here on the block.
Yeah, man. Yeah, those corners are somebody else's now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Out here, Marlo.
Shout out to all the people, though, who texted in knowing exactly what you were talking about.
So many texts.
Look, I appreciate that because sometimes I will be a jerk and I'll poke. At our elder listener bases, or honestly, more just Lopez himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
But me. You know what? I appreciate it, man. Y'all have seen and experienced things that I will never understand. So I appreciate that y'all were here for my guy Lopez and giving him the E.F. Hutton, because if he was waiting for me to do it, we'd have been
wasn't
here.
Wasn't going
to
happen. You weren't born yet.
Till the trumpets blare. Like, that's what it would have been. All right.
All right, children. Who's going to be the first one to recite the alphabet?
What is that?
How about you, Ann?
A, B, C, D-E-F-E-F-E-F Hutton.
Are we just doing like defunct
when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
I'm telling you, it was like, it was huge campaign.
What is happening right now?
It was huge.
What is happening on the show right now?
This is where the show has gone. This is where the show has gone.
Why does that? Okay, let's talk about the Texans then, question mark. Jonathan Alexander, beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, does a fantastic job covering this team. He dropped a piece this morning, and I know that he'll be on the drive with Ron and Clint to kind of give more context, more details to this. But he wrote a piece that this morning, and the headline reads, "Why the Texans Came Up Short of the Super Bowl Hype," right? And I kind of wanted to go through some of the main takeaways that he had in this piece because, I mean, it's interesting and, you know, we want to revisit and get a better understanding of what happened with this team and why. I mean, a dude who's, you know, in that locker room doing a lot of that is an interesting perspective, right? Obviously, there was kind of the Super Bowl contending kind of conversation, but, you know, then the offense lacked explosiveness and all these things. He cited three main reasons. In talking to a dozen players, coaches, front office members, team officials, and league sources. So, like, this is fairly comprehensive, right? And the first one that he put down here, and we'll go just kind of talk about him through there. The Texans initially lacked an identity on offense, in part because of the wealth of weapons and many injuries.
I agree with the lacked an identity.
The reason why is something that you're...
Yeah.
Okay.
Because...
what you thinking?
Give me a wealth of weapons every day of the week. Give me a wealth of weapons with any offense. I mean,
I ain't like that.
That's not the lack of identity part. And I don't know
that there's something for like analysis paralysis, right? When I was studying to be an architect, I remember that like there is the idea of like the freedom of structure, where when you have endless possibilities, it's hard. It's just like, hey, go design something. It's like, oh my goodness, it's anything. But when they give you, hey, these are the parameters, this is the site location, this is what we need, this is what we, it frees you up to be creative. Now, how fair, like, and that's in a general sense, right? How much does that change in a football sense when, is this something that you can expect, or is this something that you could reasonably see from an experienced offensive coordinator who's like, I have all this talent.
That to me is the answer.
I feel like that was the way that I read it, is that, okay, this is the side of an inexperienced coordinator who goes, I have all these things, how do I use them? And maybe I have to cycle through and find things, as opposed to probably an experienced coordinator goes, okay, let's try this.
Yeah.
I think that this will work with the talent that I have, and I can use these guys in this particular way. And I think that continually shows, the word inexperience continually shows up for me when I'm thinking about Bobby Sloak and what he's done or not been able to do with this offense.
Well, it's the lack of identity I completely agree with. The reason why, because of weapons,
And the injuries.
Injuries, that's a separate topic. But if you're talking about because they didn't quite know how their role. Yeah, they're both in there. But how to find their place in this. I don't buy that, because actually.
I'm just saying
I don't buy it.
Fair.
I don't buy it.
I think there's some validity to the idea of there's one football, you have a certain level of targets, and if you have a five-headed monster, like how do you get that ball there? And I know the conversation in training camp leading up is just whoever's open.
Right.
Whoever's open will get the football. But I think we all knew that it was going to be a little more complex than that. I just did not expect them to not be able to find that in the way that it was clear and evident.
I just can't buy that. We went into the season like, oh, okay, so Nico's going to stretch the field. Stephon's going to be able to cross the middle and do this. We knew it. Yeah. We were talking about, hey, how about, you know, Tank Dell? What's it going to do for him, you know, in the red zone? I mean, all these conversations we had. Oh, Joe Mixon, hell yeah. Joe Mixon's going to open up the pass. These are things that we knew. Dalton Schultz is going to be, you know, so things that.
Wait. Dalton Schultz is going to be what?
I'm talking about pro.
Oh, you know, going into the season.
No, I know, but I just love that you're like, Dalton Schultz
is
going to
be a weapon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just like, it's going to be next topic.
So this is going to sound like a big criticism of Bobby Slowick, and maybe it is.
It read to me at least, maybe not a big criticism, but at least a criticism.
Other coordinators would give their left you know what for that option.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It's one of the things that, you know, and I have not been in like a position to be a journalist a lot. I do not consider myself a journalist, mostly because I have a supreme respect for the folks who do actual real deal capital J journalism. But when I've had the instances to be in like a journalistic capacity, whether it was in college or whatever, one of the things I loved asking coaches, whatever, is what do you see as the identity of the team? I feel like that is one of those foundational, fundamental things that you want to mock up early on in a season, maybe even before the season if you can. And it's that it feels so damning that you get to the end of the year and you can talk to players, coaches, front office members, team officials, and league sources and come to some level of understanding that you were not able to, you did not have an identity. Mm-hmm. That is if you don't plan, or if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Yeah. Right? If you don't have something that you're working off of, or if you don't have something that you're trying to aspire to hit, you're going to miss a target because you don't have one. And that feels really tough that you can come to a place where you go, hey, you didn't have an identity. And I understand, again, the injuries are part of what made that tough. But as you mentioned, the wealth of weapons is kind of a rough reasoning that you can throw out there. So that was one of the things that came up. The second one listed here in Jonathan Alexander's piece in the Houston Chronicle about, you know, why this team did not reach the heights and of the hype that was up there for them. They often failed to execute small details in critical situations.
He's talking about the offensive line. To me.
Oh, no, the offensive line actually ends up being a separate. And this is all the way across this team.
Yeah.
Details?
Yeah, especially penalties. But I'd say it always comes back to the offensive line for me. And I know.
Yeah, but I feel like that's letting the rest of the team off the hook by bringing that specifically to the offensive line.
Probably.
Their penalty. Hell, we just got done with a game where special teams had a whole bunch of lack of detail.
But that was a one-off. Literally one.
Was it? If we go back.
I don't remember. You had games.
But again.
Yeah.
This is where you go quantity versus quality. You had some moments, but a lot of them, you had a lot of inopportune penalties. Mm-hmm. You had situations in various games, and this is where I'll need to pull up my notes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm saying that out loud instead of just thinking it to myself. But you had games where, you know, you had drives extended even defensively because, oh, there's an errant penalty and there's mm-hmm. a situation where, damn, that's a boneheaded mistake yeah. there. Even while you go around that, hey, the team has been really good, except for these moments, right? Yeah. Like that's something that plagued this team all the way through. And again, when you talk about going through a season, incremental progress would be cleaning some of those up and not having those come back. Mm-hmm. It just felt like, and again, with the whack-a-mole nature of this season in general, you knock something down and then felt like someone else would pop up. And those incremental yeah. penalties was one of the whack-a-moles that popped up at times throughout the course of the season all the way around. And that's typically the one that if you go, like, if you want to be if you want to be very general about the criticism, mm-hmm. when you get penalties, you go lack of discipline that goes to the head coach. And it feels like that doesn't fit with the general ethos that that D'Amico Ryans brings. But that is going to be something that I'm eager to watch is if D'Amico Ryans can get his guys to fully rein in those kind of penalties. And it's not, again, not that they was like rampant the whole way through, but that if you can clean those up smoothly.
And poor execution just in general.
Right.
And that includes the quarterback. You know, he came out of his skin this year for a big part of the season.
Sure.
So that ties in with that as well.
And that is the third one. And the biggest of all, our guy Jonathan Alexander says the offensive line was so bad at times that it made it difficult for CJ Stroud to even operate.
But again, that goes to the offensive line.
Correct. That is the offensive line.
And I feel like, you know, we, as I said, processing the season, absorbing it all, sort of digesting it. I've never, and we've been critical of the offensive line all year. I've never been more clear that it is the line can fix that, and I think a lot of other things fall into place.
Oh yeah, I mean, the aspirations and the good feelings about where this team could get to, they were not ill-founded, right? It's one of the things that I tried to say a lot, and I hope that it came across in saying it is just they have the capability of being great, and that was what made it so frustrating time and time again throughout the season was seeing them not be able to do the things that they were capable of. I think at one point during the season, I said I felt like a disappointed parent, where it's like, If you look at the report card and they got a C on there and you're like, all right, if they were a C caliber student, that's great, man. Mm-hmm. You did everything you could. You put all your all into when you got to a C.
Yeah.
When you were A caliber student, when you can get there, maybe this is a level of, I don't know, PTSD for me being a dude that, you know, probably should have gotten A's sometimes, got B's and, you know, heard about it. But, you know, if you have those capabilities and you're not living up to it, it's frustrating. It's like, yeah, you're passing, but like at what cost? Like, you're not living up to the fullness, and you see what the cost is. You get to the back end of the season, you're not even in the situation where it feels like you're putting together one of the best games. Like, you can't get it all the way through four quarters because you just have not done that consistently. And the offensive line is one of those places in a big way. But the offensive line being so bad, there's a multitude to it. One of the things we were talking about was the the way that the talent was disparate from the scheme that you wanted them in.
Yes.
And it's kind of crazy that it took so long acknowledged.
There was a big disconnect between what they wanted to do and what they could do. You know, what they wanted to do was obviously Bobby Slowick and the offense and that style. What they could do didn't fit that style. And then, like I said, the more I think about it, I'm like, what, you know, however they do it, you know, by hook or by crook, as they say, you got to change at least three of those dudes.
You
got to improve.
Yes, and that's the forward-looking place, and that's probably a place that you need to be. Can I be a messy sports radio person and ask you the very messy sports radio question?
Be messy.
The issue of the offensive line being bad, and especially that the disparity between what the guys are probably good at and capable of doing and what the scheme is that you put. Who do you mostly put that on? Because I know you can go to Bobby Slowick on, all right, he's the play caller. How much of that does Nick Cassero have to hold as the man who is
put together? Bobby Slowick inherited these guys, a lot of them.
Yeah.
So that is now, but here, to be fair, Nick Cassero didn't necessarily know that it was going to be a Bobby Slowick offense that was coming in. You know,
not in the first. Yeah.
He was bringing, like, he extended Titus and Laramie and all that, not knowing what the scheme would be because they were still going to hire another coach for this long term. So it is on him, but I don't blame him a lot on that. But what happened is you brought in these guys and Bobby Slowick's offense, and that was never going to work. It worked last year because of CJ's ridiculousness, for lack of a better way to put it. But there were still issues with the offensive line. We came into this year saying all they got to do is fix the line, and it's going to be Super Bowl, baby. I mean, there were issues with the line last year. There were signs that it wasn't a good fit.
But you know? they stuck with it, right?
But
like
they didn't
try and take a swing to change that. Now that you knew that Bobby Slowick was the guy, or maybe you looked at it and you said, "Hey, is that what you mean when you said you didn't know it was going to be Bobby Slowick? The idea that maybe he was going to get a job? Is that what you were thinking?"
Or no, even just before that, even going into the 2023 season, you know, he didn't know. But then once you're in the 2023 season, everybody's feeling good about things because they're winning. Even though there were still issues with the offensive line, you know,
and that's where the old Jeff Van Gundy quote shows up.
Don't ignore in victory,
man. You remember when that was something that we talked about every week, and then you got to a place where you're like, oh, you can't ignore this. Oh, man. It's a very interesting article in the Houston Chronicle by Jonathan Alexander. I encourage you to read it. And just a programming note: he will be on these airwaves talking to Clinton Ron of The Drive at 2 p.m. So I will be by my radio at that point. I'd encourage you to be there as well. But you're in the loop right now on Sports Radio 610. That's the station that you're listening to. And the segment you're about to hear is Figgy's Mixtape, brought to you by one Figgy Fig.
Yeah, so we got some beef pause on the timeline.
Whoa, it's beef?
Yeah. A former NFL player dropped a diss song to another former NFL player. I'm a player for y'all guys to get y'all reaction. Plus, kids just say the darnest things. I got a funny story about a mother when she took her son to the doctor.
Okay. That sounds wholesome, but also beef is not wholesome. I don't know. How do we make that work?
We gotta hear this.
We'll figure that out.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. Hopefully everyone having a good day so far. I found some beef pause on the timeline yesterday, man.
Do you really gotta pause beef?
Yeah, sometimes beef
really?
Sound loud. Yeah.
I thought that was fine.
Yeah, sometimes if you say, oh yeah, I got some beef.
How about meat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's more possible than beef. I thought beef was like that's like saying pork. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that one is... But you just say meat in general.
Yeah, but some people say beef in a different type of way.
This
is
so exhausting. You're not tired?
I'm tired. I'm tired too, but I want to respect the game a little bit. So I just want to make sure we clear. Okay. But I actually brought this up yesterday around this time about some back and forth going on Twitter between Ryan Clark and Marcellus Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
So this one kind of took it to the hip hop part when we talk about beef.
That's crazy. One of these dudes got in the booth.
Yeah, somebody got in the booth.
Got in the booth. So, behind it. That's how you know you mad.
Yeah. So what I'm
not like super mad, because if you really mad, you go talk to that person.
Yeah. Yeah. So Marcellus Wiley is the one that got in the booth.
Oh, I didn't know he had that. I would have. If you had just given me in a vacuum, Marcellus Wiley or Ryan Clark, I would have guessed Ryan Clark.
Yeah,
Marcellus Wiley. He looked like this type of guy too, because he kind of do this type of stuff, like feed off of this type of gimmicky type of stuff. No disrespect.
You can't say no disrespect. There's some inherent disrespect.
I think he's loving this type of stuff. But here's Marcellus Wiley. So I heard the whole diss song, and I just want to get y'all thoughts on this. And we're going to let it play for 30 seconds.
Okay.
After 30 seconds, I want y'all to let me know if you, like, you know what, this ain't it. Just tap out.
Or
I'm going to let it keep going.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it keep. Okay. Just let me know if it's so bad to the point you got to stop it. Just let me know.
Okay.
But
right.
Here's Marcellus Wiley diss song to Ryan Clark.
Ryan Clark, what's this I see? You dissing me for years, now you want to talk to me? Private text, but your public game is weak. Calling me a sellout, now I want to hear you speak, boy. Yo, Clark, you've been running your mouth for a while. Throwing shade in public, trying to crack my style. Calling me a sellout, trying to tear my name. But when it gets too hot, you don't treat it the same. Social media posts, man, you out of control. Tweeting disrespect, gonna play that role. Now you hitting up my phone trying to make it right, but you weren't talking
30 seconds.
Just last night I heard you. Don't text me in private while you diss me in public.
All right,
I'm okay.
Throwing the white flag.
I'm okay now. I think I got the gist of it.
It's the white flag.
I appreciate that he did not get, like, that was more in the lane than, you know, he could have gotten into a place where he was not capable. He kept it into a little bit of a boom bat where he could get it to it.
He actually kept it clean. Like, it was nothing disrespectful or fighting words and nothing like that.
That was clearly a one take, because I feel like he needed to punch in some of those. Like, I feel like that was you missed, you were off beat a little bit. Some of those times you didn't really hit your mark.
That makes me feel good, because I clearly am the number three person in this room when it comes to
critiquing
hip hop and rap. But I felt like I could tell it was an amateur, but it was a good amateur. It's pretty good.
I feel like
just
that was
a little cleaning up.
He picked a fight where he picked a style of music where he could get in his space,
mm-hmm.
at least, and he could be passable. I think.
Well, how about you, Figure?
I wanted to stay listening because I wanted to hear what this is about, because I still don't understand what the beef is about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so, I mean, the beef been kind of going on for a long time, man. Pretty much,
they just don't like each other.
Yeah, Ryan Clark pretty much called him a sellout. Marcellus Wiley pretty much calling Ryan Clark kind of, I guess, like a good old boy, or he kind of called him a race baiter.
Okay,
this kind of started with the whole Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So they kind of been going back and forth for a minute, but every time we talk about a quarterback, oh, you don't get that same criticism to Josh Allen that you do to Lamar Jackson and all that stuff. So Marcellus Wiley is on the other side of it. I don't think he cared for the race baiting that.
Gotcha.
Or alleged race baiting that.
Wait, hold on. From the 832, Marcellus is from Compton, guys. Don't let the Columbia degree fool you. I ain't speak on nothing behind that. No, I was just talking about him rapping.
No, you could tell he's from Cali. You could tell.
I was not talking about no bona fides or nothing. I just feel like he went with a little boom bap, and I feel like he didn't have quite that same precision on the rap.
Now, I don't understand. I think Quincy Avery kind of got in this little back and forth, too, at one point about fighting.
Quarterback coach?
Yeah, about fighting, because the whole Deshaun thing kind of.
This is sprawling.
This
feels like a Royal Rumble. You just threw in a whole nother contender.
This was a couple years ago, but ain't nobody trying to fight Marcellus Wiley, man.
That's
like,
big boy.
That's
a big boy.
Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to. We could go back and forth on social media, but that's it.
That's where it stops.
I'm not trying to meet you anywhere.
You're not a rapper. You made a rap song, and you clearly didn't like do it. Like, it was like, hey, this is a bit. This kind of feels hokey. I'm going to be completely honest.
That's why I said he's kind of a gimmicky person. If you mention his name, he will go on his platform and clown you a little bit.
Okay.
He ain't going to take it like serious where he's trying to meet up with you or anything like that.
He's not trying to meet nobody in Temecula.
Nah. He's going to try to embarrass you a little bit.
All right.
Hit you with facts and all that stuff. But that's clearly why he made the song and kept it clean and kind of goofy. But salute to him for going in the booth, man.
Yeah,
forget all this back and forth on Twitter.
At least he didn't sue him.
Let's go in the booth.
He didn't sue him.
Or you never know, Ryan Clark. If he gets Ryan Clark might sue.
Not the cease and desist.
Yeah, he might.
Oh, who won? Drake or Marcellus Wiley?
Oh, I mean, Drake is always the loser. So, congratulations, Marcellus Wiley, almost by default, because I don't feel like actually parsing this. You are the winner.
Yeah. So I heard this funny story about a mother who took her 5-year-old kid to the doctor.
Okay.
And, you know, I guess you got... Lopez, you probably... I'm kind of curious. I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever had any funny stories taking your son to the doctor?
Well, it's just... It's not necessarily like, funny, but they're always...
Like, you know, a weird interaction.
So anxious and nervous and... I always... I always got mad at the doctors whenever they gave him shots and stuff. I was just, I mean, I didn't like cause a scene. I was just like mad.
You just felt, you felt that sympathy pain with the kid.
God, dang it.
Were your kids' doctors the doctors that asked them questions that they couldn't say no to?
You
want a shot? What you going, what? When I say no, you're not going to give it to me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so this kind of happened with this mother. So she took her 5-year-old kid to the doctor. And he got to get a checkup, and they checked the private part of the kid just to make sure everything is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this is her story on this whole interaction with the kid.
I took my son to his 5-year-old well checkup the other day, and the whole appointment was going good. It was fine. And then it got to the part where the doctor needed to check his private area. And she said, hey, is it okay if I check your private area? And he said, no. So she then was like, is it okay if your mom comes and stands by your head while I check your private area? He's like, I guess. So I got over there and said, boy, pull your pants down and let her check. Then he pulled his pants down, and the whole time she's assessing his area, he is cracking up. And then she says, okay, I'm done. I'm like, okay, you can pull your pants up now. He looks at her and says, you're disgusting.
That's right. That's right. He said no. Good and for no him. Means no.
Good for him. You're disgusting.
He said, how dare you?
Kids just say the darnest things,
it's
man.
Honest. It's honesty.
He's right.
Yeah. It's honesty.
He's right. Why would you ask me if you were still going to do this?
Yeah, it's just honesty.
Just imagine that doctor going home to have dinner and, hey, guess what happened at the doctor's office?
Yeah.
Guess what this little kid told me?
You're nasty.
Yeah.
You're disgusting.
You're nasty.
Yeah.
Speaking of kids and all that stuff, it's a weird a weird children's book going around, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to play this audio. This is somebody reading a book called Ben's Big Load. Pause.
That is crazy.
This is actually a
is this a toilet training book? Is that what's happening here?
No, this is about a story about Ben. And
the
he
truck,
have a load.
Right?
Yeah,
the
he have a
oh,
load.
Oh, I was like, where are we going? Yeah,
I've seen the book.
He have a big load of trash. I want to see if you want to get this kid or this book for your grandkid, Lopez.
Yeah,
go ahead. This is how the book sounds. This is somebody reading a couple pages from the book.
Ben's Big Load by Kinsey Mazing. This is Ben. He's been carrying around a huge load for weeks. He needs to drop his load soon before it starts to leak. No matter how hard he tries, he can't seem to let it go.
He
wishes he could just release it and watch his huge load flow. He tried to drop his load off at Susie's place last week, but when he brought it by, she said, I'm not here, your load reeks. His load is overbearing. He's filled up to the brim. He needs to dump his load soon, or it might be the end of him. His friends can tell he's hurting. They see that something is wrong. They ask Ben about his load and why he's been waiting so long. I have nowhere to dump it, he says. Every place I try says no. Do you guys have any suggestions? Where do you let your loads go? I just release it any place and any time.
Nope.
All right.
I don't
That's
care
probably about enough of that.
Nope.
Interestingly.
Got to notify the authorities.
Yeah. Yeah, is that a good book?
What was the name of the author again? Because I'm calling the authorities. You're
Ben's
a sick human being.
By Kinsey Mazing.
Kinsey Mazing.
That's, yeah, man. I need my response to the author is the same response as that kid talking to the doctor. I need that.
You're disgusting.
Interestingly, it only took me about 30 seconds to read it.
All right.
What am I supposed to do with that?
You're
disgusting.
What?
You're disgusting.
That's right.
I actually saw this.
You know Lopez. He's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy.
I said it just took me 30 seconds to read it. What's wrong with that?
That's crazy.
It's actually a parody book. I saw this coming across my timeline too, and I'm like,
for who is
for
this
parents
for?
To have fun.
with their children?
Well, with the book and with having to read books.
Don't read that to the babies.
So this is a children book.
It's a children's book.
But not for children.
Well,
or for adults.
It's for parents to just, it's a parody. You know, it's just a
charity. Don't keep that around the babies because the baby's going to be like, I want to read that one. And now you got to be talking about loads to your child.
Right.
And that's
like,
a problem.
Like, Papa, what's a big load?
Right.
Exactly. Like when I read a book to Natalie and now she's of the age where she'll ask the questions occasionally. She'll like again or read again, do this or ask questions. I'm like, I ain't reading none of that.
I got to order that book for you, man.
Oh,
wait,
no.
There's multiple people texting in saying there's books about eating cookies and such. What is wrong? What?
Oh,
what?
God, man.
Who are these people?
Hey, wait till our readathon that happened again.
No.
We're going to have to go to a school and read these books.
I ain't reading these books. Absolutely.
Not these books.
I'm reading about the hungry caterpillar. I ain't doing none of that other stuff y'all doing.
Very hungry caterpillar.
That's right.
My daughter has pajamas, PJs, and a very hungry caterpillar.
I'm glad to see. They have very hungry caterpillar got to be like 30 years old. Like, it's an old book.
Oh, at least. Yeah, at least.
Still, but it's still in the game.
Dr. Seuss, she's a big fan of that.
Just all of them?
Cat in the Hat?
All of them. I mean, yeah, pretty much. If a doctor says, he's talking about staying power.
Yeah.
Was that the 40s?
That's right. The Lorax forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, wow. Wow, there's some sick people in this world, man. But the person who is not sick is Figgy, who brings you a mixtape every weekday, 1:20 p.m.
You're disgusting.
That's right. Disgusting. Right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand the show off to the fellas of the drive, Clint and Show. I guess I got to keep saying that. I got to make sure to get myself into that space. But we did ask for our question of the day. What's something that you were accused of that you absolutely did not do, a la Joe Mixon? There were some great stories, and I told you I'd circle back to them. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, yep, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Been a fun Thursday here on Sports Radio 610 to this point, and I appreciate all you fine folks that have helped make it a very fun Thursday to continue on with the drive. Clint and Show getting themselves ready right this moment. They'll join us in not too long, but before we get there, a couple of things that are happening around the world of sports. Apparently, Al Golden is indeed going to make the jump to the pros and become the defense coordinators of the Cincinnati Bengals. And another coaching thing, this one, I don't know that I was really on the watch for this necessarily, but apparently Kevin Stefanski, who is the Browns head coach, will reassume play calling duties out there. So
yeah,
it feels like that's probably a good thing to do, that he has a good play calling brain. And it seems like he's been a head coach long enough that he should still be able to manage the kind of executive portions of this while also,
you would think,
having the play calling duties.
Yeah.
And I mean, at this point, I don't know that he is, like, is he on the hot seat?
Because he's going out on his shield, yeah.
Right, feels like he's getting...
That's what this is.
So if you're in that place, you're like, hey, if I'm actually going to go out, at least I want to go out my way. I don't want to go down with somebody else's offense or somebody else's play calling.
Yeah, they actually hired a young offensive coordinator, too. I'm not familiar with him, but Tommy, is it Reese?
Tommy Reese. Wasn't he a quarterback at Notre Dame?
Yeah, and I was like, wasn't he most recent? I think he was most recently. Well, see, this is the thing, is I'm thinking he was most recently at Notre Dame, and I don't recall if that is correct, where he was. No, he was recently at Alabama.
Okay.
He was OC at Alabama in 2023. Then he went to Cleveland as a passing game specialist, and now he'll be the offensive coordinator now that, Ken Dorsey vacated the space ahead of him. But, yeah, you want to go out with that experience of Kevin Stefanski, I imagine. So that's how that one's
going to
go.
Yeah, he was quarterback at Notre Dame.
Up there. Yes, correct. Yeah, correct. I thought I had validated that, but my bad.
I was thinking.
Not saying that specifically. But, yeah, earlier today we were talking about how the NFL somehow doubled down in a way on the Joe Mixon thing. Because he got a $25,000 fine for, and part of the letter that allowed or then notified him of the fine quoted a tweet from TJ Houshmandzadeh that was somehow that was also included in a SI story that talked about this. And so it was a weird mix up that ultimately Joe Mixon got fined for. And so he basically got, you know, in trouble for being and accused for something that he did not do. And that got us thinking, what's the situation that you have that is similar? And y'all had a lot of stories that I still feel the visceral, like anger and, you know, just
because you get so mad. Like
it stays.
It's one thing like you caught me, was like, I actually did not do that.
Please
like,
believe people on this sex line do it all the time. It was one time somebody tweeted me like, that was a bad take of what you said. And so
oh,
on.
Yeah, that happened.
I'm like, I never said that. I did not say that.
You're like, I didn't even have the microphone on. I don't know what you're talking about. And I guess you guys had some things that I was like, I do want to circle back around to them. So there was one that came in from the 713 that said when they were 9, their mom said that they said the F word, mm-hmm. but actually they had said shucks.
Oh, wow.
But they were just kind of out just at the edge of like.
It's too close. It's too close, man.
It's too close. Yeah, you got to go with golly G or something, yeah. man.
One like, time I said dang because I was the king of the dang.
Yeah.
And I said it too close.
Who said that word?
I got, yeah.
You caught a whooping. this person didn't even catch a whooping. They said their mom took them into the bathroom. Took their dad's barbershop brush.
Oh, man.
Lathered it up and washed his mouth out.
That goes down your throat. There's probably little stubble, hair stubble.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, look, man, your dad probably tried to do a good job of cleaning that. I doubt he cleaned it perfectly.
Oh, hell no.
There's definitely some like shaving cream in there, too. Like, that's all because you said shucks.
Yeah.
That's tough. Somebody said they were in prison and their girl accused them of making a Facebook account. I'm sorry, dog. I think you did that.
Yeah.
I think you did that. I know.
That's all they got.
You got content in there.
That's all they got.
I think you did that, brother. I think you might have made that one happen.
Yeah.
Somebody said from the 832, they got pulled over on campus by 10 police cars and the driver was arrested for possession. They only pulled them over because an hour earlier, police had been in a car chase with a similar model, color, in your car, but they only found out the actual person they were looking for was sitting in the back seat with them. Got away.
Oh, wow.
That's wild. That's a wild.
That almost sounds like my story.
Yeah. You got the same color car, right? Yeah. Got pulled over?
Yeah, yeah. Fits the description. Yeah. There is a whole subsection of these that fits the description.
Yeah.
I had a similar one when I was at Kansas State. So, like, you know, I was studying architecture. And when architecture, you have a lot of studio time. You know, you're doing projects and stuff. And sometimes late hours of the night, you'll be working.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was in studio. We were all working into late hours. And then at one point, I'm like, all right, I think I'm gonna take it to the dorm. So I'm walking. And actually, it's cold out. So at some point, I'm like, man, let me get to
black man in a hoodie.
Let me get to moving. Yep, black man in a hoodie. I get that whoop whoop. And I'm out here. I'm talking to, the campus police for a while. And I'm just standing in the cold because, like, you know, man, I'm not at my dorm. I'm just out here. So I'm standing in the cold. I'm like, dang, I want to get there. And eventually they let me go. And what I found out was like, oh, well, yeah, apparently someone
matched the description.
Someone had in a similar color hoodie.
Oh, gosh.
A black man had like chased after some woman on campus and she called campus police. So they were looking on the lookout for him. But thankfully, my hoodie had a different logo or had a logo, whereas their hoodie was completely clean. And I was like, all right, cool. Come to find out the next day, the person that they were looking for was another dude in my studio who had left earlier.
Oh, wow.
He didn't do anything. Wow. He was just running because it was cold and he was trying to get back to his dorm. Come to find out what happened that created all this.
Oh,
he was running. Some woman got uncomfortable. She started running and he said, no, I'm not trying to hurt you.
Oh my God.
Don't say that. You did all the wrong things.
You did all the wrong things.
And honestly, it's not wrong, but it's wrong.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
And so I ended up being outside in like the Kansas cold for a good 45 minutes.
Because of him.
That's right.
And
that's
his right. And his poor choice of words.
Yeah.
Like, brother, if you got a hoodie on, don't run.
Yeah, so, man, a lot of those situations, and, of course, the Joe Mixon thing, kind of frustrating. It will be interesting to see, though, if the NFL also comes with that same energy, keeps that same energy with the likes of Will Anderson Jr. and D'Amico Ryans. Not that I'm wanting those fines to come, but it'll be odd if they come back and they say, Joe Mixon, we're fining you because of, like, criticism of the refs that isn't that's like indirect. Mm-hmm. When you had Will Anderson Jr. saying, yo, we was playing against the refs, and you had D'Amico Ryans, you know, out here saying that, you know, we had to play against everybody out there.
Well, if you're going to say that, and I agree with you, we'll see. Then they find Will Anderson, they find Titus Howard, they find Nick Caserio, they find D'Amico Ryans. I mean, that's what's so bizarre about this. And we were talking earlier about, like, why? Well, you know, why do they have it in for the Texans, seemingly? I think it's mostly embarrassment that they've kind of been found out or exposed or whatever. And Joe Mixon happened to say something and they confused it and they said, screw it, we're still going to fine you. You know, we'll still fine you anyway, even though you're not wrong.
Yeah, I don't know if I even go all the way there, but it's just like this is the rule is there to try and keep it so that you don't have people within the organization mm-hmm. of the NFL criticizing the NFL and sowing that level of that level of concern about the integrity of the game. But the problem is that it's there, and I don't know that this way of going about it and trying to tamp down dissension is going to help.
It's not
going to
change.
And that's the tough thing about it. Like they've got the hammer for this particular thing, but this instance doesn't feel like a nail.
Yeah. No, it's not going to change it in the least bit. And it just makes them look worse. I feel, because now they're petty and vindictive, you know?
Yeah. No, that's very much the way that it appears, mm-hmm. at least, especially to Texans fans as this thing is going. But yeah, and that's a wild place to have to be. There's people that are, We started talking about the mm-hmm. idea of potentially returning Stephon Diggs, and I found myself after doing like a cursory research project in an interesting place where I was like, actually, I'm kind of interested in this. I think I'm going to try and do something similar to like for the Tank Dell thing, mm-hmm. but I don't know that there's anything similar to ACL and MCL and dislocated knee.
It was Texans had the defensive back. Was it Pay Me Rick? What was his name? That had a
complete, Dante Robinson.
Dante Robinson had a very. That's the last time I remember a knee injury like that.
Pay Me Rick isn't a last name.
I think Dante Robinson was the last Texan that I had that had that severe a blowout, and frankly, he was never the same again.
Yeah. What about the person I think about is Willis McGahee. Who had a real bad knee injury
mm-hmm. in the national championship game.
I realize the part that I also wanted to get you here is that the finalists were announced for various awards. The thing that is pursuant to locally is, hey, man, if you wanted to start a case for why they hate us, like why don't they respect us? The AP Defensive Rookie of the Year finalists include Cooper DeJean, mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles cornerback, Braden Fisk, defensive end for the Rams, had a great season, Quinyon Mitchell, great cornerback for the Eagles, starter. Chop Robinson for the Miami Dolphins, outside linebacker. And Jerry Verse, another Rams outside linebacker, the kind of rush quarterback. You know, are you notice the defensive rookie that's not showing up there?
I do. One Kamari Lassiter.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
Like, you figure that he'd be a top five rookie, especially when he's a part of probably one of the better, if not the best, cornerback pairs that you had out there, especially when you look at, you know, the quarterback rating against and such things. Like it feels say that's kind of incredible.
They all had terrific seasons.
They really did.
Terrific
seasons. It's a great group. It's a great group of rookies.
So,
like, I don't want to take away from any of
these. It's almost a little more understandable. Part of it is, you know, those are guys that you can't take anything away from. And Kamari Lassiter, get used to it, by the way. You're going to live in Derek Stingley's shadow.
Yeah.
So for the rest of your career with the Texans, you're going to live in his shadow.
But one of the things that, and this probably isn't fair, and this probably shouldn't be the way that I view it, but it kind of stinks that you have two pairs of teammates on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, typically in these types of situations, you wonder, is one of these guys going to cannibalize the other in situations where you have teammates? And it seems like, nope, they're all going to get in this place where Kamari Lassiter doesn't get shine. Do you have any level of feeling that this is some level of, you know, the focus that the Eagles get, the attention, and maybe the Rams,
the whole
like,
market thing? I don't buy that anymore.
Because it doesn't feel like it necessarily applies.
I think it applies in some instances, particularly, you know, these types of things like voting and stuff. But in today's NFL, every game, like for the people who watch the NFL and cover the NFL and vote on, every game is covered and seen and watched and available and all that stuff. So they're familiar with Kamari Lassiter's work. I just, frankly, I'm not going to let him off the hook, but this is a hell of a group.
Yeah,
it's a hell of a rookie group.
I think everybody in Philly would probably have the same reaction if Cooper or Mitchell wasn't on it.
But in that instance, it feels like
we see him every week, and mm-hmm. we've seen him from the beginning. So yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's hard to believe, you know, two guys or there wasn't a space for him. But I'm sure in Philly I say the similar thing.
Yeah.
No, but and so I'm with you there. Like I understand, and you're right. Both of you guys are right that this is a fantastic class.
Because I want to say I'm surprised they didn't make it, but I will say I probably only saw Mitchell and Cooper. The Great White Corner.
That's
I probably only saw them play like five or six times.
Yeah.
And they were impressive, and they had great years.
100%. But I was just wondering, like, I feel like it's easier to stomach that if you have, we have one of the rookies on here at least, whereas it's just you get blanked because somebody else gets both of theirs in mm-hmm. there. But you're not wrong in that regard. We got
We got Clint. We got Show stepping in. Fellas, not a lot of time, but we were talking about, you know, instances where you may have been accused of something that you absolutely did not do. Did y'all have any of those moments? Because we got some crazy ones come in on the text line during this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a lot. I'm jealous of people who had siblings that lived with them growing up. I was never ever able to pass that.
It was always
every ass kicking I got, I earned.
You earned
everyone. I've tried to pass. You know, I've tried to pass some on. I've got a couple of ass whoopings with cousins that it wasn't me, but I mean, I'm not gonna dime them out. But we all just got
still
in trouble
day,
for it. Yeah,
you're like, I'm
we
still
all just got in trouble. But then, like, I just didn't talk to him for a minute. So that's the closest thing. But I get it. Like, I know my kids have gotten in trouble, and it's been one of them, and all of them.
Oh, you do the collective punishment?
Oh, I do.
Nobody steps up and tells me.
I'm big on that. Well, y'all get it. I'm real physical in my punishment. I like to make a real scene and a point. I go and yank out Xboxes and PlayStation.
I go and
yank them off.
He's a theater
expert. If I could take that door off the hinges, like if I was confident that I could do it and put it back on, I do it all the time.
You get the right tools, you can yank that circle.
There you go. Like I said it, my personal confidence. I know you, I'm sure you can do it.
Hey, try it when you're gone one day. Just see where you're at, man.
Right, there you go. All
right. That's a 2-hour job.
You got a 4-hour job ahead of you, right?
Hey, I did knock out the furnace, though. Oh,
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
My father-in-law walked me through it like I was undoing a bomb. But I mean, yeah.
But did it get done or did it get
done? It got done.
There you go. That's the only thing.
Flames came back on, baby.
We're done in the loop right here. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, we leave you with these fine fellas. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, live in studio, The Drive is live.